Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
We are coming off of what I called going into the weekend, what I said would be the best weekend in the regular season this year. And it certainly lived up to it. Whether you're a Laker fan or not, it certainly lived up to the billing of the best regular season weekend in the NBA thus far, and I think going forward. And that was because the Los Angeles Lakers, with the best record in the West, were facing, number one, the Milwaukee Bucks on Friday night. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the front runner for the MVP award. LeBron James, second in the MVP race, and now has a groundswell working toward him being number one in that race. And the Bucks got the best record in the league. And then on Sunday, following that up, the Lakers met the LA Clippers, who are most people's favorite to win the championship this year. They had beaten the Lakers twice already, were 2-0 against the Lakers this season. Both teams fully healthy. A lot of feeling out there that Kawhi Leonard had become the best player in the world. And LeBron James totally playing up that hashtag Wash King. Was he going to answer the bell against Kawhi Leonard and Giannis Antetokounmpo? So I thought that is what made it the best weekend coming into the weekend for the NBA, and it lived up to the billing. And mainly because a lot of guys played well. Giannis played well. Kawhi played well. Paul George played well. Anthony Davis played well. Avery Bradley had his best game of the year. But the story of the weekend, Rob, was LeBron James, period. And I think he reestablished himself. He showed everyone that for the time being, he still is the best player in the world. I thought he dominated both games, and particularly offensively, but showed something defensively by guarding Giannis and Kawhi as well.
See, I think the reason that people will go that route and they want to praise LeBron and act like Giannis is what he's done all year doesn't matter.
Well, it's not. I'm not saying about MVP
not
right
you.
Now. I'm talking about best in the world.
Right, but I'm saying the best in the world still comes down. The only reason that you would even mention Kawhi is because he wins. And I still believe that ultimately that's what's going to determine it. It's the same thing. LeBron can have a nice playoff or great playoffs. If the Clippers beat them and move on, it'll be about Giannis. I mean, it'll be about
so
Kawhi.
You think if the Clippers win, that means Kawhi's better than LeBron?
I think that
regardless
of how
they play?
I think that will look at it again, and you will look. I just think that winning ultimately, Chris, there's nothing wrong with stats and all that, but it is about winning, and people expect the Lakers to win. They might be the favorites by the scribes, but there's a whole lot of fans out there who think the Lakers
think
are
the
finally
going
to win a championship.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
I thought
fans.
You were going to say the Lakers are the favorite. Yeah, I think the writers are favoring the Clippers.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the people who cover the game are.
Right.
But I'm talking about just the fans who now believe the Lakers have a chance to win. They could have lost both of those games, Chris, and people wouldn't have said, oh, they have no chance to win because LeBron's on the Lakers. That's all that matters. And they would still give up hope against hope that ultimately something could happen in the playoffs or whatever, and he still could make it happen. So, yes, it was a great weekend for LeBron as far as that. The idea of him still being viable, especially since he hadn't been able to beat either one of those teams to this point. So that's a plus. It's a psychological boost. It makes people feel good about the Lakers. Does that mean that they move past the Clippers in most people's eyes? I don't think so. I still think that when people look at it and are honest about 4 out of 7. It doesn't mean that the Lakers aren't going to be in the mix and aren't don't have a shot. But I still believe if you looked at the teams and looked at where they are and the firepower and a seven-game series and what it takes and guys who can play defense and all the other stuff, and can LeBron play like this more than just one game, but a whole series.
He can do it more than one, but, yeah, he's going to have to do it like five.
Or, exactly.
You know, at least four. At least four.
But maybe more, to play at that level.
Right. We'll see if he can. Look, I went in to this season, and my pick, as you know, at the beginning of the year was the Lakers. And then about a month and a half in or so, or maybe right around Christmas, I picked it. I said, no, I think the Clippers going to beat them. But going into the regular season, when I picked the Lakers, I said there a few – LeBron James has to do a few things for the Lakers to win the championship. So far, they've all come to pass. I said he's got to play point guard, which he's doing, like exclusively. You know, and obviously you want him to score, which he's doing. But he's got to take on that responsibility of running the team as the point guard. He's got to be engaged defensively. Like, I didn't expect him to – I was shocked, to be honest, that he guarded Kawhi the entire game yesterday, or, you know, other than switches and cross matches and things like that. But I just needed him to be engaged defensively. He's done that. Focused defensively. And then the third thing was no drama. Don't get into it with the coach. Don't get into it, you know, who you want before the trade deadline, who you don't have, you know, you need more help. None of that. And he's done all three of those things. And then, Rob, after the first two games, after each game, really, with the Clippers, after game one, which you and I went to, and then after the Christmas Day game, after both games, I said, LeBron cannot – he has got to be aggressive if they're going to have a chance to beat the Clippers. And he's got to stay aggressive. And I really said it's going to take a heroic performance from him to beat the Clippers in a seven-game series. And that's what he did this weekend. He put on two heroic performances and led the Lakers to the victory. Now, like you said, at 35 years old, in his 17th year, after a full regular season where he played hard for the most part, can he do that? And it'll be after two playoff series, too.
Exactly.
And so it remains to be seen, can he do that enough for the Lakers to win it? But I still think that, going back to my main point, I think he reestablished himself for the time being, certainly, as the best player in the world. I think he can just do more things than Giannis and Kawhi. And then the fact that he actually guarded Kawhi and played defense as well as Kawhi did, which was surprising. But I thought he showed off this weekend. It was a masterpiece.
No doubt about it. I mean, for people who looked at the numbers and, you know, saw what he was doing, but the no wins against the two teams that basically are in your way. You know what I mean? For you trying to do what you're trying to do.
And he hadn't played that well against it.
No.
Even Milwaukee the first game. He had a triple-double, but it wasn't a great performance.
No, and the two Clippers games, he shot poorly in both of those games. So yes, people wanted to see, what does he have? We know that he can run through the also-rans, right? We know that.
Yep.
That's not an issue. It still comes down to the big games, the big moments, and that's what we finally saw. So, Laker fans are rolling around in it, feeling good, no doubt about it. But there's still some season left, and then, like you say, the playoffs, and who can outlast, and where will LeBron be, you know, come June or come late May? Do you know what? Where will he be? We don't know that yet.
Well, what we also don't know is who's going to win the MVP. And, Rob, I said last week when you were on the cruise, and I don't know if you sensed it before you left, because it really just kind of started last week, but there became this groundswell for LeBron to be the MVP. It was just coming almost out of nowhere, it seemed. And then after this weekend, it's become an avalanche. And LeBron, his odds in Vegas for the MVP went from 10-1 to 3-1. Now, I've still got Giannis. I think, you know, it's not a weekend award. You know what I mean? You don't win the MVP for two games. And if we really want to, you know, look at it fairly, Yes, LeBron outplayed Giannis in this second game, but Giannis outplayed LeBron in the first game.
And because of people. This is where we always talk about it. It's the prisoner of the moment,
right?
Because we saw this. If it was reverse, where LeBron had the better game in game one and Giannis was better here, Chris, people wouldn't look at it the same way, would they? You know what I mean?
Not those with that narrative. And LeBron definitely has the better narrative. I mean, 17th year, 35 years old, coming off a bad season. Right.
You're talking about the a Lifetime Achievement Award. Exactly. He's still doing it. He's 35.
Right.
17 years, and that narrative, which people get behind, you know what I mean? Because they do. They want him to do something. And this is the LeBron crowd because of, not winning at the clip that maybe some of the all-time greats have won at. So they have to look at other stuff that
Skip
they need
LeBron
to do. Yeah.
He says Giannis, I think he's saying Giannis deserves it, but he thinks LeBron's going to win it because of the narrative. Now, I'll say this. There are things happening that I think are working in LeBron's favor. Let's put it that way. And for me, like I said, I've got Giannis out front. But LeBron has, for the first time this season, for me, he's got a legit chance of getting my vote. Because I think, in addition to, he's always had a good season. I mean, he's definitely playing great basketball. But part of my argument for Giannis and why I've got him ahead are historical things going on. Number one,
right,
the Bucks were on pace to win 70 games, become the third team ever to do that. The other two teams to do it were loaded with Hall of Famers, Golden State and Chicago with Jordan. Giannis obviously is the only Hall of Famer on his team, and he was on pace to win 71 games. Now they're on pace to win 68. Not quite as historic. Not one of those numbers where it's, there's these magic numbers in sports where if somebody hits them, you almost got to reward them with some type of regular season award. The second one is PER, player efficiency rating, which has its flaws. Nonetheless, he was on pace just a week ago to have the best PER ever in history for a single season.
That would have been hard to ignore.
Yes, definitely. Especially in this analytics age for a lot of these analytics-driven voters. But now he's dropped off a little, and he's actually on pace to have the fifth best, which is still incredible. But again, not quite as historic. And then, Rob, what could be the biggest factor is this knee injury. It looks like it's nothing serious, and he's supposed to just miss the next two games. If he misses the next two, that'll be 9 for the season. And, he may miss more than that. And the Allen Iverson missed 11 games in 2001. That's the most games missed by an MVP in the modern era since 1980, so the last 39, 40 years. And so it depends on how long Giannis is out. I just think I'm going to really watch these next 5-6 weeks of the regular season, and it's going to go a long way in determining who gets my vote. But Giannis is in front right now for me.
Yeah, no, I'm still with Giannis, and like you said, it all depends. If it's worse than we think it is,
they might be cautious because
for them it ain't about winning the MVP.
Right,
it's about trying to get past the point that they were a year ago when they lost to Toronto. Right.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, Rob, we're going to move to a little baseball. And there was an excellent story on the great Barry Bonds in The Athletic where he gave a lot of access to a writer, sat down with him for about an hour, and really just spilled his guts out how he feels mistreated, I guess is the way to put it, by baseball. And here's a direct quote. Rob G., read what Barry Bonds said in The Athletic.
That's right. Barry Bonds talking to Andrew Baggerly of The Athletic says, quote, "I feel like a ghost in a big empty house just rattling around. A death sentence. That's what they've given me. My heart, it's broken. It's really broken. If you don't want me," we're assuming he's talking about in the Hall of Fame, "just say you don't want me and be done with it. just be done with it, end quote.
Well, here's my take, Rob. I think Barry Bonds is the greatest baseball player I've ever seen. I think he's, just from what he did, now, you know, apparently it was enhanced, but from what we saw, he was the best baseball player ever. And that includes Babe Ruth in my book. From what we saw from Barry Bonds, you know, just it was ridiculous the stuff he was doing. That said, I don't feel like he's in a baseball purgatory. Now, I get it if he feels like, because he's not in the Hall of Fame, when obviously he deserves to be, at least from his accomplishments. I get if that bothers him. And I guess I understand if he feels like every year when the vote comes up, and I guess he's only got 3 years left, waiting, hoping, waiting to see, does he make the vote? Does he get the necessary 75%? I get that. But that's no different than any of the other guys that have been linked, most of the guys that have been linked to the steroids. Roger Clemens is in the same boat. Mark McGwire. Now, so I would say, if Barry feels that way, I think it's just because he's not really in the limelight. I mean, Alex Rodriguez, David Ortiz, we don't feel that way about them because they've become these big-time broadcasters. If Bonds wanted to go that route, then, you know, I think he'd be out there and maybe become beloved like A-Rod has become. Or if he wants to get in the game in terms of coaching, I mean, are they holding him out of coaching? You know, he did coach with the Marlins, you know, like McGwire's doing that. So I think he's just not – he's out of the limelight and not getting, obviously, the love that a guy with his accomplishments should get. But I don't feel like he's gotten a death sentence other than the Hall of Fame, which is just due to people thinking – that he used PEDs.
Yeah, death sentence is too harsh. I agree. And I can understand why he would feel a little bit on the outside looking in. But here's the thing that I think Bonds has to be realistic about. And he might not have the 75 yet, and he still has a few years to go.
He's at about, what was he this year? About 61. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that inching up or is he plateaued?
Yeah, no, it's not. It's inched up every year. So my point is, if you weren't going to make it, you would be off the ballot already. All right? If you got 5% of the vote, Chris, you're off the ballot. And there's no chance of you getting in. So if Bonds' numbers were going down the last 3 years, then I would say it doesn't look like it's going that way. I was just trying to look up what was the player this year who got in, who I highly questioned, Chris, because he, and I'm going to give you his name.
Larry Walker. Wasn't it Larry Walker?
Yeah, who jumped up 15% in his final year.
Right.
That's unheard of. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Chris, unheard of for because it was his final year. And I do believe, as a voter, I voted for Barry Bonds every year he's been on the ballot. And I think what baseball has done has been unfair from the standpoint. We saw Edgar Martinez got in on his last ballot.
Yep.
We saw Mike Mussina get in on his last ballot. This is what they've been doing, Chris, and I don't like it because I don't believe in it. Either you're a Hall of Famer or you're not.
If to me, it, takes does, 10,
it shouldn't take you 15
years
or 10 or years
right.
to make it. It makes no sense because guys who put Larry Walker in, they went from – not voting for him for 9 years to all of a sudden on the last year, Chris, he jumped up from 60 something to 75. Where were all those guys for the 9 years? So that doesn't make any sense. And the other part that I have an issue with is it's unfair to just look at the home run hitters during the steroid era. If people will do their own research, more pitchers have been caught using PEDs and steroids, Chris, than hitters. Here's other guys who have been put in who are under a suspicion of steroid and PED use. Mike Piazza got in 2016. Jeff Bagwell got in 2017. Pudge Rodriguez got in on his first ballot, in the first vote, right? He's the one who's in the Jose Canseco book. Jose Canseco said he stuck him personally with the needles, Chris.
So let me ask you this.
And here's the other part. Pudge, during his playing career, when that whole thing came out,
yep.
I was in Detroit. I was covering Pudge when he was with the Tigers. One offseason, he lost 40 pounds, Chris. He lost 40 pounds. And he said he used to eat salads every day and walk after dinner. That's how he said he lost the weight.
All right, let me ask you this. Why have those guys gotten, you know, been able to be voted in when they've been linked to steroids and other guys like Bonds haven't?
I think it's the home runs, and I think it's unfair.
But there are other, like, I mean, obviously Clemens is not getting voted in.
And Clemens is the other one who has 7 Cy Youngs, who's unbelievable.
Right.
But Clemens and Bonds, they're more like the face of the steroids, and it's weird because Bonds has 7 MVPs.
Yep.
And Clemens has seven Cy Youngs, a record, both of them. Do you know what I mean?
I wonder if some of it is to do with that their stature in the game. I mean, as good as Bagwell and those guys were, they were not on Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens level.
No doubt.
Because those two were essentially viewed as the best player and best pitcher in baseball for so long, maybe that's why they've been punished by writers more so.
Yeah, I think it's wrong, and I think part of it, especially the home run thing, there's a lot of sentimental guys. You know, I've been covering baseball since 1990 or 1986, I should say. And a lot of people, when Hank Aaron lost the home run record, and I think it's like punishment. Do you know, like, and I don't think it's fair. Mark McGwire broke Roger Maris's single home run record in a single season. You know, first.
Yep.
Bonds, of course, broke it, Chris. But you know what I mean. But I think people are holding those things, and I just think it's totally unfair. I think as a guy who covered baseball during that time, I'm here to say I believe that they were most nights, Chris, on equal playing field against other guys who were pitching to them who also were using stuff. The stuff was rampant. They weren't being tested for it. It wasn't a banned substance. And I just think it's unright. I think it's unfair. The one thing he can't say is he did get a job in baseball, and if he was totally blackballed or had a death sentence,
right. That's why I don't think he wouldn't
have
happened.
Right? He wouldn't have had a job. They could have sent out a quiet, not memo, but you know, do not hire Barry Bonds under any circumstances. You know the other one too, and it's hard to argue. You mentioned him earlier. A-Rod is the face of baseball, whether people want to believe it or not.
Yep.
He's on Fox Sports 1 baseball coverage and Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. Nobody, Chris, has ever done that. Nobody crossed both networks
and be
the main voice of the game.
Yep, he's become the darling of MLB.
Yes.
He's almost, I mean, they're completely different personalities and approaches, but he's almost like a Charles Barkley of the of baseball.
Not almost.
You know,
I think he has gotten to that. I really do. And you remember, Chris, when Pete Rose was still on the FS1 show.
Yep.
Right? I thought that was as close to Barkley and those guys on team. You know,
I thought he was a poor man, Barkley. That
exactly.
Show was, and Rose was great, and he was a lot like Barkley. He was in
the
that
role. The whole team was great.
But the whole
with
show
Frank
was
Howard,
good, right.
It was the whole thing. Right. And I think that and so if they didn't want A-Rod, baseball signs off on all the hirings, Chris. You know, like Fox could go to Major League Baseball and say, hey, we want to use A-Rod. And they could have looked the other way and said, nah, I don't think we want him. You know what I mean? They could have done that.
I think the other thing, Rob, and this is why I side with you on these guys getting in the Hall of Fame.
I believe they're going to get in.
And they probably, because he's moved up. I mean, 2014, Bonds was at 44%.
That's what I'm saying. Look at the numbers.
That was 2016. 2017, he's at 53%. 2018, 56%. 2019, 59%. Now he's at 61%. I mean, it's going up slowly now.
But Chris, there's still time to get there, though, if you look at the numbers. That's why I say if Bonds was at 53 going the other way, say the last 2 years, I tell you, there's no chance.
Yeah.
There's no chance. They're going to get in.
Too, the thing that people need to realize is that there are a ton of guys already who are in who use PEDs.
Or at least
you know
allegedly.
Greeny's
right.
Back. Well, Greeny's back right. In the day were in a bowl in the clubhouse, and dudes would take them like candy on their way out to the field. Those are amphetamines that are illegal
stimulants.
Right now.
They're stimulants.
Yeah.
Right.
So you are, and that's not to mention, you know, like Tom House, the pitcher who talked about guys in the 70s and even the 60s using steroids. In an article in USA Today, he just flat out said all that on the record.
People never bring that. They don't want to go to that story because, Chris, steroids are not new PEDs.
No.
Go read Lyle Alzado's Wikipedia. Go read it. You know Lyle Alzado, everybody, the football player, died young. But, Chris, he said he started using steroids in 1969.
Yeah.
1969. They're not new.
And again, at the time when those guys were using them, Bonds, and they weren't illegal in baseball.
That's why I can't rightfully vote against them. Because to me, I don't think it's fair. It would be like, Chris, the state of New Jersey sending you traffic tickets from 20 years ago when it wasn't legal, when you could drive without a seatbelt. And they say, well, we know you weren't driving with a seatbelt back then, so we're going to give you a ticket. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't think that's fair to penalize the guys after the fact.
Yeah, it's interesting. And like I said, I do think he could be back in baseball in some capacity.
I think he's going to get in, and it will be what needs to be done, some healing, some closure, as much as a lot of people, and it's not even close to what the Astros and allegedly the Red Sox did. It's a totally different thing. But this is the other part, Chris, to put some closure to that era. Let's not forget, Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa saved baseball. You remember the state it was in after the lockout, after the strike.
I covered the World Series. Home run chase.
Yes.
I covered that for the New York Times.
Am I right? I mean, they used to break in on ESPN to show their at-bats, if you remember. I mean, that's how big it was.
That's why, look, it's hypocritical because baseball, look, as you said, they knew what was going on.
Yes.
They played dumb. Who knew? It was mid-90s. Who knew about steroids? Everybody.
Yes.
Don't act like you didn't know.
And you could look at Mark McGwire. He looked like Chris up close.
Oh,
you saw him up close. You covered
him. They look like cartoon characters.
Like Paul Bunyan. Have you ever seen anybody's arm? He would look like Paul Bunyan.
Look at some of the old games on like ESPN. Well, I don't know if they even have Classic anymore. But look at some of the old games. Guys who were viewed as behemoths. Dave Kingman. Dave Parker. They look like stick figures.
Yes.
Compared to what we see today.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, there's a lot of hypocrisy going on.
I think my brethren will get it right, though. I really do, Chris, only because of you just gave the numbers. Look at how big they've jumped
over
4 years.
It went up slowly this year.
Seriously.
Though. It did. It only went up 1%.
Yeah, but it didn't go down.
No.
It didn't go down, and that's the trend you got to look at. And I believe it'll be closer to 65 next year, 67, like that. And then I believe that you cannot have a Baseball Hall of Fame without Roger Clemens and without
Barry
Bonds.
So are you saying
the
Baseball Hall of Fame is illegitimate?
No, I'm just saying that I think that people know, Chris, and this is the other thing we talk about all the time, the eye test. Those are two of the greatest players I ever saw
or
without juice, with or without juice.
No question. Yeah, I look. From when I think Bonds was using, he definitely went to a higher level. He was an all-time great early in his career.
He had three MVPs in Pittsburgh as a skinny kid.
Exactly. So he was a Hall of Famer already. But when he was using it, what we believe he was using it, I mean, it just took him to Superman level. I mean, I'd never seen anything like that in baseball.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Rob, you were in New York over the weekend getting back from your cruise, and some surprising, even stunning news coming out of Brooklyn this weekend. Kenny Atkinson, who's, you know, it's undeniable he's done a nice little job there as the coach of the Brooklyn Nets. But he gets fired. I mean, they're calling it a mutual parting of the ways. And there is some reporting out there that he did kind of, you know, want out himself just because he really didn't think or wasn't enjoying the prospect of coaching Kyrie Irving Kevin Durant. Yeah,
I saw Vinny's report, Vinny Goodwill, of course, from Yahoo Sports. And that was a little surprising for me, Chris, as a coach, to not want to coach talent. That was just surprising to me.
If that's true,
I'm not saying Vinny's report is not true. I'm not saying it's hard for me to believe as a coach, Chris, and you know this, that you don't want to coach talent. I'm sorry.
Look, let's just call it what it is, Rob. And I get it. If Kyrie wasn't responding to him, KD's not responding to him, the players are, you know, maybe you feel your voice is weakened, then you ride it out or you try to overcome it, you know. But to step down yourself, and if this is true that you didn't want to coach KD and Kyrie or weren't looking forward to it, whatever, that's damning. It's damning. Because what does every team want, Rob? A KD.
No,
that's
my problem with it.
Where are you and going now?
And the other problem, too, is you don't have to do that. Wait a minute. Kyrie had surgery, right? And KD's not coming back this year. So why would you step down right now? You have a team, seriously, that's still in the that's in the playoff hunt.
Right.
I don't want the timing.
I think it was a fire.
I agree, because the timing doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't. You're not coaching those guys this year. You ride it out. Can you imagine you make the playoffs, Chris, without those two
guys? Which they would have. It looks
right.
Like,
because they're in a good spot, right already.
They're seventh. Yeah.
So all I'm saying is, wouldn't that look good for him as he moves forward?
Oh yeah.
That his season collapsed. The two big stars that they brought in. Obviously, one wasn't going to play this year, but he leaves the leaves. And you still are able to make the playoffs in the East and you put it together. That's a feather in your cap. Why are you walking away from the parting ways before the season is over and not even having to face the scenario that supposedly you didn't want? It doesn't make sense.
No question. That's why I think it was a firing. And look, this is the fact. And I don't know if Kenny Atkinson would have fallen into this category or not. If it's true that he stepped down because he didn't think, wasn't looking forward to coaching the two stars, then it clearly tells us he's in this category. But there are coaches, Robert, you've covered the league long enough to know as well. There are coaches that will maximize mediocre talent. But give them some real thoroughbreds. Give them a Mercedes-Benz or two, and they can't handle it.
No, they'll crash.
Brad Stevens may be – I mean, he couldn't handle Kyrie. And I'm not saying it was all or maybe even mostly on Brad. But he couldn't handle Kyrie for whatever reason. And they got a star in Kemba who is, not quite as ballyhooed and accomplished as Kyrie. He's on a different level. He's a star, but he's got the mentality more of, one of these, a David rather than a Goliath. And so he's fit in better. Jason Tatum, who's emerged as a star, came in as a young player. So he's got a relationship with Brad. So that's a different situation. But you see, he's better suited with this team that he has now than he was when he had a guy like Kyrie. And, there's all types of stories going around. You talk to people around the league, they definitely think Kyrie's hands and even to some degree KD's are dirty with this firing of Kenny Atkinson. Maybe they saw. I don't know if they know, but maybe they looked at him and felt like, this isn't the guy that's going to get us over the hump or to the next level. Because the culture does change.
Maybe there's somebody else out there that they like, and what I mean.
Well, there's talk of Ty Lue, who obviously won a championship with Kyrie. There are those I've talked to that say Kyrie's not going to push for Ty Lue. I think of Mark Jackson. Look, I've said this for so many jobs for Mark. I don't say it because to get him a job. I think he'd really be a good fit there. A New Yorker, I think.
No, not only a New Yorker. KD, he was born in Brooklyn.
Right, right. KD and Kyrie would respect him. There's no question I think he'd be good for that job. But, Rob, the culture changes. It was the little engine that could last year in Brooklyn, and that was nice. That's going to get you a 6th, 7th seed, maybe a win or two in the playoffs, and that's it. And that's great for what you are. But once you bring in stars, the culture changes.
And I'll tell you this.
It's done with the Clippers.
I'll tell you this, for the first time, Chris, and just mark my words on this, I think the Nets have a golden opportunity with what's happened with the Knicks, with the recent Spike Lee. I'm not saying that New York is going to flip to Brooklyn, overnight, but things are so bad with the Knicks and that owner and what's gone on. If they were to get, you know, the right coach and put together a squad next year or whatever, they could really make move the needle in New York for the first time. I really believe that.